60 to 65, your high temperature this Saturday. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
51 degrees in Rockville, 52 Ashburn, 52 Fort Washington, 53 and holding in our nation's capital at 259.
You're listening to WTOP, Washington's news, traffic, and weather station.
WTOP News. Facts matter.
Good Saturday morning. It's the weekend, everybody. We've made it. Welcome in. April 27th. I'm Dean Lane. Coming up this early morning on WTOP, pro-Palestinian protests locally at GW University continue this morning. Some demonstrators are threatened with suspension.
What do small business owners think of the new National Harbor curfew? I'm Matt Koufax.
Tornadoes rip through three states, including Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska.
Months after a flash flood killed 10 dogs, a D.C. agency's after-action report is released. I'm Kate Ryan.
The Donald Trump hush money trial continues next week. A day of gains across the board on Wall Street Friday, wrapping your business week. Good morning. Welcome in. 3 o'clock on WTOP.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Wendy Gillette. Tornadoes hit Texas, Oklahoma, and Nebraska yesterday afternoon. Hundreds of buildings and homes were damaged in Omaha. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports.
Multiple tornadoes ripping through the state.
That is a tornado in Lincoln, Nebraska.
With reports of major damage, including a building collapse near Waverly and a train blown off the tracks.
Wow.
The violent tornadoes also tearing through central Texas.
Additional college campuses are jumping in the protests against the Israel-Hamas war. Correspondent Lilia Luciano is in New York City.
New pro-Palestinian demonstrations at Loyola University in Louisiana, Stanford, and Arizona State.
ASU has been an extremely safe environment. I think that this year I have been feeling that that is not the case.
Here at Columbia University, where it all began, it's day 10 of protests, and student protesters are saying, we're going to keep the tents up until the university meets our demands.
Much of the first week of testimony in former President Donald Trump's hush money trial revolved around former National Enquirer publisher David Becker.
Two witnesses were called after David Becker. Rona Graff, a trusted associate of Donald Trump. She was his former executive assistant and moved her way up at the Trump Organization. And just before the proceedings adjourned for the weekend, they heard from Gary Faro, who's best described as a type of custodian of records for Michael Cohen.
CBS's Errol Barnett reporting. The Biden administration is again delaying a plan to ban menthol cigarettes. Correspondent Linda Kenyon has the latest from the White House.
It's the second delay in 2 months, and the Secretary of Health and Human Services says only that more time is needed to consider feedback. The delay is certain to anger anti-smoking advocates, but it may be good news for those who smoke menthols. They're especially popular among black smokers and teenage smokers.
There is positive news out of the UK about the royal family, the BBC's Stuart McIntosh.
King Charles is to start returning to public duties in Britain next week after reacting positively to treatment for cancer. Buckingham Palace said doctors had been very encouraged by his progress so far. He'll continue to be treated for an unspecified form of the disease. His upcoming duties will include hosting Emperor Naruhito of Japan in June for a state visit.
King Charles is 75 years old. Regulators abruptly closed Republic First Bank operating in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and New York, the first bank failure this year. Fulton Bank in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, will take over Republic's deposits, assets, and branches. The last bank failure was Citizens Bank in Iowa in November. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
WTOP at 3:03. Good Saturday morning. It's the weekend, everybody. We've made it. April 27th, 2024. Welcome in. Cloudy skies, spotty showers throughout the day today. The high 58 to 65, Veronica says. We're at 53 now. Good morning to you. I'm Dean Lane. We do indeed thank you for taking us along for your early 3 a.m. hour Saturday morning ride. Topping the stories we're following for you as we roll into this weekend morning together. We begin this hour with protest in the latest against the war in Gaza on the campus locally of George Washington University continuing this overnight early morning. At last check, several protesters have pitched tents, we're told, on 8th Street between 20th and 21st. The student-run newspaper, the GW Hatchet as it's known, is also reporting this morning that at least seven students have been suspended and charged with 9 counts of misconduct in the case in connection to their involvement in those earlier protests you may remember that formed that encampment in the first place. Now, in a statement this morning, the university confirms that several students have been formally notified of their suspensions. The school further says any student who remains in university yard may be placed on temporary suspension and administratively barred from campus. Meanwhile, we are learning here at WTOP from the Washington Post this morning that D.C. police apparently rejected pleas from GW officials to clear pro-Palestinian demonstrators out of their encampment on University Yard Friday morning. Now, police reportedly told the university then that they were worried about the optics of moving against a small number of peaceful protesters that they saw. Stick with WTOP. We'll keep you updated this morning. The Anti-Defamation League, meantime, says it fully supports those demonstrations on college and university campuses, but draws the line at anti-Semitic signs and slogans, which it says have been on display at GW and elsewhere in recent weeks across the country. Anti-Semitic incidents last year in the U.S. actually were up 140% from this time a year ago.
We've been urging for months that we are seeing this increase of anti-Israel rhetoric. It's not just people who are criticizing the Israeli government. They are blaming Jews as a whole on a global basis. And while speech of Israel, you know, can be critical in many ways, and you can be supportive of the humanitarian crisis, you can't have threats, intimidation, and harassment. And I think that's part of what we're seeing. We're seeing a lot of uneducation, of not understanding the conflict in the Middle East and the true history. But we're also seeing a lot of conspiracy theories, which is where a lot of anti-Semitism comes from. And we're seeing anti-Zionism specifically targeting the Jewish community.
Meredith Weisel is the D.C. Region Director at the Anti-Defamation League, joining us earlier on WTOP. WTOP at 3:06, another top story we're following for you this weekend morning. The youth curfew at National Harbor has now been in effect for a few hours. Kids 16 and younger cannot be there alone on the weekend, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, into the morning. They must be accompanied by a parent or guardian. WTOP's Matt Koufax was out there with them, speaking with the small business owners about how they think this curfew will affect things going forward.
Hopefully it will help. I believe it will.
Late night fighting, looting, yelling, and vandalism. These are just a few things small business owners are hoping the new juvenile curfew in National Harbor will fix.
It's been really hard because I've literally had people inside of the store ready to purchase. It's like, I'll come back tomorrow. The security guard got jumped last week, so.
One small business owner whose shop is just off American Way and wished to remain anonymous told me teens loiter late night outside her store is affecting sales. And while she knows the curfew is temporary,
what does a permanent solution look like in your mind?
The parents being fined. I think they should be held accountable.
In National Harbor, Matt Koufax, WTOP News.
WTOP at 3:07. Turning the page this morning, 8 months after 10 dogs died locally, you may remember, in a flood at a doggy daycare business in the district. A draft report is out this weekend on what went wrong. It's been released, as we hear from WTOP's Kate Ryan this morning.
The report from the D.C. Homeland Security and Emergency Management Agency is a draft after-action document. Advisory Neighborhood Commissioner Joe Bishop Henchman, who serves the Eckington community, had this reaction.
Well, it confirms a lot of embarrassing stuff.
Such as?
911 miscategorizing the emergency, which led to a very long delay of first responders getting two district dogs.
District Dogs was the Rhode Island Avenue business that flooded August 14th. 10 dogs died in the business where floodwaters reached 6 feet. Emergency dispatchers initially characterized the issue as a water leak. Among the corrective actions called for, retraining emergency call takers and dispatchers and determining whether the building that used to house District Dogs is still at risk for flooding. Kate Ryan, WTOP News.
It's Saturday, April 27th. The weekend's here, everybody. We finally made it. We do thank you for starting the early part of it with us here this morning at WTOP at 3:08.
Michael and Son's Precision AC Tune-Up for only $49.
Michael and Son. Traffic and weather on the 8th, and when it breaks, 24/7, guaranteed. Traffic's always first. Good early Saturday morning to Robert Workman with us in the WTOP Traffic Center.
Accident cleanup and investigation underway in Rockville on 355 Rockville Pike in the area near Twinbrook Parkway, Rollins Avenue over on the other side of the road. Be prepared for police direction if your travels are going to take you over in that area. It looks like that was a hit-and-run crash is what they're telling us. So they're checking out the area as well. On the ride down 270 through Germantown and Gaithersburg towards Rockville and down towards the Beltway, your lanes are all open. At the American Legion Bridge, just south of there, road work in both directions on the Beltway. Outer loop, you get by single file to the right. Inner loop, you get by single file to the left. And occasionally, they stop all traffic for a few minutes at a time. Right now, each lane is moving in each direction, but we'll keep you posted in case that changes. It has several times overnight. Westbound on 66, we're okay from the Beltway out towards Centerville and Gainesville. Inside the Beltway, there's still construction from the Roslyn Tunnel out towards Glebe Road. At least one lane is maintained, though, through that work zone. No issues along the 95 corridor from Dale City up into Springfield and continuing up 395 towards the Pentagon and the 14th Street Bridge. The WTOP Newsroom is furnished by Regency Furniture. Shop Regency for the best dining, living room, and bedroom sets, plus brand-name mattresses. Affordable, never looks so good. I'm Robert Workman, WTOP Traffic.
Well, clouds have been moving in, and there will be some rain this morning. Some scattered showers, most of which will be late morning and going through the afternoon. Your temperature is 48 to 53 degrees with high 60 to 65. Not a washout day with this rain, but again, you'll want to have the umbrella. About a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain expected on your Saturday. Sunday, dry, mostly sunny, and more summery, 82 to 87 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
Right now, we are looking at 52 in Manassas, 53 Metro Center, 52 Frederick, Maryland, and we are at 53 in Holding, 3 a.m. hour, Saturday morning, April 27th, here on WTOP This Weekend. Brought to you this time around this morning by Long Fence. Save 25% on Long Fence decks, pavers, and fences. 6 months, no payment, no interest financing. Terms and conditions do apply. Check them out. Go to longfence.com. WTOP at 3:10. On WTOP, of course, we bring you money news at 10 and 40 past each hour. Jeff Claybaugh is with us this morning to wrap your business week.
The Fed's preferred measure of inflation shows it rose in March to an annual rate of 2.8%. Exxon and Chevron both report a big drop in profit margins on falling natural gas prices. Southwest Airlines has put a hold on hiring and is reducing some routes as it waits out new deliveries from Boeing. The Dow rallied 154 points in Friday's session. The Nasdaq finished the day up 2%. Jeff Claybaugh, WTOP News.
Problems at one major airport. We're in depth on that issue and what it means for you next on WTOP. Time now is 3:11. Good morning.
Issues that matter most to voters in the DMV. Local races that could make all the difference. Coverage you can always rely on. Election 2024 on WTOP News. Facts matter.
You're with Dean Lane on WTOP.
Animals are languishing in U.S. shelters, especially dogs who look a certain way. These dogs are just as deserving of loving homes as any type of dog, which is why we decided to help them get out of kennels. Join the thousands of supporters of our mission to help us expand our national reach and proudly place more dogs from kennels into their forever homes. To learn more about our mission, please visit us at kenneltocouch.org.
Good Saturday morning. Welcome into WTOP. Glad you're with us. It's 3:12.
It's all the car most of us really need. This is Jeff Gilbert with a Car Chronicles test drive. Now, people don't drive what they need, they drive what they want. But a week in a Toyota Corolla Hybrid convinced me that this is a very logical choice. First, the Corolla is probably the gold standard in small cars, and with each update, you get more luxury and amenities. That included wireless Apple CarPlay and Android Auto this time, as well as an updated audio system. The test vehicle Toyota let me try out was a very upscale, higher trim. Now, for fuel economy, the hybrid trim of the Corolla can get you up to 50 miles per gallon. And the front-wheel drive actually does quite well in the snow. Okay, I understand why people buy SUVs. It's often maximum perceived need, but the Corolla has always been a very good daily driver, and it just keeps getting better. Let's give it a full 5 stars. With a Car Chronicles test drive, I'm Jeff Gilbert, CBS News.
Welcome to the weekend, everybody. We've made made it. Thanks for starting it with us. Saturday morning, April 27th in the 3 a.m. hour. If you're just joining us, it'll be cloudy throughout the day today. Some scattered showers, spotty though that they may be, according to Veronica, 58 to 65 for the actual high before we're done. You're waking up to 53 degrees in Washington right now. I'm Dean Lane. Glad you're with us this early morning on WTOP at 314.
This is WTOP News.
Southwest Airlines is having some trouble right now this weekend. It has announced a multi-million dollar loss for the first quarter of the year, cutting service as well to four different airports. Despite all that, though, the no-frills airline is proposing something revolutionary for its brand anyway, a first-class section. This morning, to flesh it out, ABC News correspondent Alex Stone explains why Southwest is struggling.
All of the airlines are struggling all of a sudden. One is fuel costs. You feel it when you fill up your car. Jet fuel, when they're putting a lot of fuel into 737, that adds up. They've got labor costs and new contracts that they've been negotiating. So $231 million is the loss for Southwest this quarter. American Airlines, $312 million. They blame it on fuel and labor costs. Add to all of that, especially for Southwest and United, Boeing slowing down the deliveries of the 737 MAX and some other aircraft type. They're not going to have the number of planes that they thought they were going to have. So they are shutting down pilot hiring because they won't have the planes for those pilots to fly. So there are a number of things going on here, Boeing being a big part of it, along with fuel and labor. But on the seating part of it, Southwest, in their call to investors, said, yes, this is something that they are looking at now. Customers have said that it's something that they want. They've been doing studies of customers, and maybe they want that. They may want assigned seating as well, the CEO saying.
Just to be transparent, we've been seriously studying this question around, you know, onboard seating in our cabin for a while.
And they say the studies that they're doing are shocking to them. The customer preferences change over the years, that the current model of the open seating that we all know for Southwest may be outdated. It may be something that in today's world doesn't work any longer. And he added,
but it was designed at a time when load factors were lower and higher load factors do change the way preferences work, the operation works. And also our customer, we know the customer expectations change over time.
And Sean and Ann, you know, for many people, they don't want to fight 24 hours before to get that A or B boarding pass or to pay for the early bird. They just want to get an assigned seat and get it. And when it comes to first class, that is money right there for any airline. It doesn't cost the airline that much more to have a bigger seat up there, but they can charge us a whole lot more to sit there. And for airlines that have first class, most of them, they make a lot of money off of it.
But Alex, it smacks in the face of everything that we know about Southwest, the economy seating, people being able to afford it, and then people being packed like sardines in a plane. What do we do there?
Yeah, well, and we don't know what the final answer is going to be. The CEO, Bob Jordan, there saying that they're working on it, that stay tuned, that they will have more. Maybe they'll have so much backlash that they don't do it. And what would first class on Southwest look like anyway? I mean, are we talking about a meal and actual glassware and higher end drinks? Probably not. It may be more like Spirit in the bigger seat up front, where it's literally just a bigger seat and that would be about it. Or would there be more service to it? And Southwest says, look, they've evolved over the years, adding Wi-Fi, adding streaming TV on board, adding power outlets now onto their newer aircraft. Did they believe that to stay relevant against the other airlines that they've got to do it? The one thing they will not be getting rid of that they have debated over the years, they've decided right now they will not be getting rid of the two free checked bags. They've got a debate on that when the other airlines are making a combined $4 billion a year off of checked bag fees. Do they make more pulling in business by not having fees, or would they make more by charging the fees? They say right now they think that that is an enticement for people to come to Southwest because there are no checked bag fees and that they're making more that way. But that could change down the road. Right now, though, they're not going to get rid of those.
That's ABC News correspondent Alex Stone on WTOP talking with Sean and Ann. A quick look early Saturday morning at the top stories we're following this weekend morning on WTOP. Pro-Palestinian protests continue locally this morning. Overnight, GW's campus is where it's happening, where students have formed an encampment. Donald Trump's lawyers try to discredit the testimony of the prosecution's first witness in that New York hush money trial, and the former president claims he's ready to debate President Biden. Stay tuned. You are listening to 103.5 FM at WTOP.com.
Stay up to date with WTOP News and 7 News First Alert Weather.
Saturday morning, April 27th. Glad you're with us at 3:18. Traffic and weather on the 8s, and when it breaks, traffic's first. Good morning to Robert Workman in the WTOP Traffic Center.
Good morning, Dean, on 355 Rockville Pike. That's closed in both directions in Rockville around Twin Brook Parkway. Crash there being investigated. Authorities on the scene, they will detour you around that. And looks like they've now sealed it off in both directions. Apparently, the crash occurred on the northbound side originally. Beltway through Bethesda and Silver Spring running without incident over towards the 95 interchange as you head for College Park and Greenbelt. Outer loop, a few brake lights across the American Legion Bridge down into the overnight work zone near the Georgetown Pike. One lane of traffic gets by to the right on the outer loop. On the inner loop in that same stretch, only one lane of traffic gets by to the left. Not much volume coming up from Tyson's Corner at this hour. However, during the early morning hours, they will stop all traffic for 10 to 15 minutes at a time in order to reposition some of their equipment. On the Beltway down through Merrifield and Annandale towards Springfield, you should find all of your lanes open. Heading out towards Prince William County on I-66 or I-95, you should find everything in good working order. Downtown Anacostia and Potomac River bridges running without incident, and not seeing a lot of volume on the Beltway going up past Joint Base Andrews and continuing past Commander's Field on the way around towards College Park. I'm Robert Workman, WTOP Traffic.
I'll be right up this half hour Saturday morning on WTOP after traffic and weather.
Hitting the streets with Fairfax County Police to see how they're cracking down on speeders. I'm Scott Gelman.
Clouds have been moving in, and there will be some rain showers coming your way on this Saturday, most of which will fall between 10 a.m. and about 5 p.m., so late morning through the afternoon. Not a washout day, just very scattered and light, expecting about a tenth to a quarter of an inch of rain. 60 to 65 degrees, your afternoon temperature. This morning, we're hanging out here between 48 and 53 degrees. I'm 7 News Chief Meteorologist Veronica Johnson in the First Alert Weather Center.
52 Manassas, 51 Silver Spring, 51 Annapolis, 51 Upper Marlboro. It's 52 Woodbridge. We're at 53 and holding in our nation's capital. Brought to you Saturday morning, April 27th in the 3 a.m. hour this morning by Lynn the Plumber Heating and Air. Trusted same-day service 7 days a week. Check them out. Lynn the Plumber Heating and Air. Good morning. Welcome in. 3:21 Saturday on WTOP.
When it comes to substance use disorder, there is no one-size-fits-all solution. Every patient has their own journey, and at Alpus Wellness, we understand that. Alpus Wellness is an evidence-driven, holistic treatment facility that offers multiple paths to recovery. We work with most major insurance companies. It's time. Visit us at alpuswellnesscenters.org to learn more or call us at 866-862-5727. Alpus Wellness. Unparalleled treatment, lasting recovery.
You're with Dean Lane on WTOP.
Junior Achievement is where dreams take flight. We are helping students connect what they learn in school to future work and career success. We are teaching them how to manage money to achieve financial security as adults. And we are showing them that starting a business also means changing lives and communities. However, we can't do it alone. Go to ja.org to learn more.
It's the weekend, Saturday morning, April 27th. Glad you're with us. Time now on WTOP is 3:22. Welcome in.
You're listening to WTOP News.
Word this morning that a judge has ordered a local Marine Corps veteran and former militia member to stay in jail pending trial on charges he tried to make ricin, a biological toxin. 42-year-old Russell Vane of Vienna, Virginia, was arrested 2 weeks ago after authorities searched his house and found traces of ricin along with lab equipment and castor beans, which is where ricin is derived. In a laundry room, they said, is where they found it in a home he shares with his wife and two young children. Court papers show this weekend Vane came to authorities' attention, apparently after an online news outlet known as News to Share reported a Virginia militia had actually severed ties with Vane because they were concerned about his actions and what they considered his loose talk about homemade explosives. Stay tuned. Turning to the roadways this morning, you may want to check yourself if you are driving in Fairfax County locally these days. Police there are cracking down on speeding and distracted driving, in case you haven't heard, through a Road Shark program. It's a traffic safety campaign. WTOP Scott Gelman is riding with an officer to see how the targeted approach is actually working to keep communities around us safe.
So one of the things we're looking for right there, right? All these vehicles are going with the speed of traffic.
except for one.
The exception along Columbia Pike here in Annandale is a gold Honda CRV that Fairfax County Police Officer Kevin Gare caught driving around traffic.
And they know.
The driver's getting teary-eyed as Gare approaches the car.
Writer citation, just because, you know, 16 over in a high pedestrian area is pretty not great.
Using a LIDAR gun, Gare is monitoring for egregious speeders in this 25-mile-per-hour zone with pedestrians all around. It's the second week of the department's Road Shark campaign.
And really our goal is education through enforcement.
In the first wave, almost 5,700 tickets and warnings were issued.
Our goal is to be out here and be visible, so we just want to make sure that folks are obeying the law.
In Fairfax County, Scott Gelman, WTOP News.
The driver convicted in that local high-speed crash that killed two teen girls walking home from Oakton High School in 2022 has been given a recommended sentence by a jury of 4 years behind bars. The jury found 20-year-old Usman Shahid guilty of two counts of involuntary manslaughter earlier this week. Prosecutors say he was 18 at the time of the crash, was driving a BMW at 81 miles an hour in a 35-mile-an-hour zone. Yeah, back in June of 2022, it was in the summer. According to prosecution in the case, he saw a traffic light was yellow, floored it, slammed into a Toyota 4Runner that was turning left at the time. Police testified during trial the force of that crash sent his BMW off the road and onto the sidewalk where he actually hit three teen girls, killing two of them. An indictment has been handed up against a former flight attendant accused of using a cell phone to record images of youngsters in airplane laboratories.
A federal grand jury's indicted a former American Airlines flight attendant who was caught setting up a phone to record a young teen using a bathroom. 36-year-old Estes Carter Thompson from North Carolina has been in federal custody since January. Last September, on a flight to Boston, a 14-year-old girl reported he led her to a restroom in first class. But when she spotted red stickers on the underside of the toilet seat and spotted a phone, the girl captured that evidence on her cell phone, and her parents reported it to authorities. Investigators say Thompson's iCloud account contained images of four other youngsters using a plane lavatory, along with hundreds of images of child sexual abuse. Thompson faces at least 10 years in prison if convicted. I'm Jackie Quinn.
You are listening to 103.5 FM and WTOP.com.
Sports at 25.